Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Holes of Life,
the show where we show you
what Holes of Life is really like
in the holy city of Qom,
all the students living here in the holy city of Qom.
This is my husband, Pedro.
This is my wife, Sayyidina Fatima Ali.
Where are our kids?
And where are the kids?
Yay.
Here's one kid. Aya. Aya.
Zainab.
Aya.
Can you stop? She's Zainab.
Ayah, like an ayah of the Quran.
Ayah, do you
it
know?
It means sign.
Do you know?
I'm telling you this so much.
It's when I told someone her name was Ayah, they're like, "What? Ayah?" I'm like, "Listen, Ayah, Ayat, Ayah."
It's a beautiful Quran. Name.
It's
so
beautiful.
Is Zainab. Okay, anyway.
Forget it. It's Zainab, guys.
It's Ayah.
I'm the mother.
I'm the father.
I'm the mother. I give.
You know,
her
it's the right of the child upon the father that he gives them a good name.
And no discussion. I'm sounding like one of the feminists.
Where are the other kids? We found a babysitter.
No, we didn't. It's one of the sisters who works here. So we were filming something with them. And then we were like, oh, can you look after them? And she's such a sweet sister. She's like, yes. I'll
sister
do
Huda.
It.
She's sister got her Huda. Own videos.
Yeah. She's you guys know
creating
her.
Her own videos.
And the
as
kids
well,
love her. Sure. The kids love her.
Alhamdulillah.
I mean, Musa doesn't stay with everyone.
Yeah, I know.
It's shocking. I'm
look,
just like,
it's a miracle. Let's just not jinx it
jinx
right
it,
now.
Let's just do it fast.
So, alhamdulillah, what's new? What's new? What do we talk about? I've been going through stress. Like, it's been the most stressful period of my life.
Azmoon.
No exaggeration, yeah.
Talking about Azmoon, okay.
That's so, at the end of your Kar Shinasi, which is your bachelor's degree, you're going to have to endure something which is called the Azimun, which is basically a huge exam that you have to give at the end. Guys, if you get there, you need to retain all of that knowledge because the Azimun is actually going to be based on all the things that you've been studying for the past 5 to 6 years. Now, if you can try and imagine that, everything that you've been studying for the last 5 to 6 years, whether it's aqa'id, usul al-fiqh, fiqh itself, sarf, nahu, all of that is accumulated into one exam, which basically blows your mind.
So this exam of Muzaffar's, oh my God. Do you know what I've been telling people? Muzaffar was writing the exam. It felt like I was writing the exam as well.
Sarah has been such a massive help. But let me just quickly say this. You make the comparison between the MCAT and medicine.
No,
and
it's
stuff.
Really hard. No, the people can relate because they're like, what is Azmoon? So I can give a little, it's like an example. Like that's what.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there can be a comparison because like medicine is such a huge subject.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay.
I wanted to add though that look, there are doctors studying in the Hausa. There are engineers. Like my best friend is an engineer. And other brothers out there, they're professionals. They've actually gone through the secular education system. And, you know, some of them have doctorates. And they still find the Hausa studies hard. And I know I've said this previously, but I just wanted to emphasize that as well. It's very difficult. Sayyida, you okay, baby? What's wrong? We're trying to talk here.
She wants to talk. Kids were just going crazy, thinking that there's no Muzaffar around. So the thing is, they knew Muzaffar was in the house, in a room, closed door, and he's studying. So that's what made it worse. Because you know the kids know you're home?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then they're like, okay, he's home, but why can't we talk to him? And every second, like Doha, the older one, she's like, Daddy, do you want something? Daddy, can you come out? Daddy, this. That, and it's like...
I just can't explain it. I can't put it into words. You get two attempts to complete your Azamun and to pass it. If you fail both times, basically they say, bye bye, you're not good enough for the Hausa, go back to your country, right? And I have already not failed the first time, but I just didn't take it.
Because of the kids and pregnancy, I think
there were
you didn't
loads
know
of things going on, right? I didn't know when it was, what I'm supposed to prepare, that's one thing you need to learn about the Hausa. When you're here, you can't really rely on anyone to know your way around, to know what's happening.
Do
you need
yourself.
You need to really like do it yourself. You need to go to the offices. Okay, yes.
15 days before. The exam is in 15 days and our whole family gets so sick. Like me, Doha, Musa, Zainab, Muzaffar, all of us, high fever. every other day, fever, fever, coughing, cold, headache, body ache. Oh my God, it was really bad.
And it was the type of temperature that really makes you afraid. And then you're even more afraid to take them to the doctor because you're like, can I step outside?
No, with three kids, it's really hard. Like, who are you going to take care of? We ourselves are so sick. We wouldn't be able to take care of the kids, and you know. We didn't meet anyone, by the way. I just want to say this. Alhamdulillah, me and Muzaffar are people who are very careful when we get sick. We don't meet people. Some people are so careless. I'm going to say it. A lot of people, they're careless. And it really makes me angry. And I think it makes Muzaffar angry. When you are sick, listen, it's my advice to you guys. Don't meet people. Don't get other people sick. It's not just corona. But when you're generally sick, isn't a general ruling that don't go out and meet people and get them sick?
I think people have forgotten. Back in the day when corona didn't even exist.
When you're generally sick, you're not supposed to go out, meet people, hug people and get them sicker. You're supposed to stay at home, rest until the initial days of your sickness have gone.
You're not brave for doing that. Thank you. Because of you, I got sick. Really sick, and my whole family got sick 15 days before the exam.
That was horrible.
But anyway, so yeah, I got sick. Okay, then it got to 2 days before the exam. Oh. Then what happened? I ring my friend, brother Anthony.
So funny.
He's a good brother. He came from, he used to be a Christian, so he came from a Christian background. And now he became a Muslim, and then he joined the Hausa. Yeah. Yeah, look at the journey.
He tells Muzaffar you have to register for it.
Yeah, and then he says there's a practice exam tomorrow and you can come too. Just bring along the receipt, the 50 toman receipt. And I was like, what 50 toman receipt? And then he says, if you haven't paid 50 tomans, it means you're not registered. And I was just like, thank you for that. And I hung up the phone. I'm not making this up. I collapsed on the floor. I didn't faint, but I just kind of...
Do you know when you give up on life?
I gave up on everything. The door was locked, so she couldn't see me. It would be horrible.
I could hear him. I could hear some stuff happening. I was like, what was he doing? Like, I think it was Fajr time, wasn't it? Before Fajr.
I can't remember what time it was.
I just ignored. I was too tired. I was like, okay, fine. Just go through your face.
I was just literally on the floor, sobbing like a baby. Thank God you didn't see me in that condition. Otherwise, you would have not had any respect for me. But I was just sobbing like a baby because I was like, I can't, Ya Allah, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. Okay, so some power just picked me up from the ground because I have no other choice. I have to pass the exam now. Otherwise, my whole life will be in jeopardy. And when I say that, I'm not saying it as an exaggeration, guys. Literally, for those of you who know our condition and our situation, not to go into any details, literally my life would be finished. So some force just picked me up and said, you have no choice but to carry on going. And so then I had to run to the madrasa. I had to go to Jamatul Mustafa, Al Mustafa International. I had to go and chase people down. Imagine, this is a day before the exam. And literally, I am just running around trying to go to these different offices, trying to get everything sorted. I finally get to this one office. They say to meet me in another place. So then I go to that place. Then they tell me to meet. It's always like this, just going this way and that way, this way and that way. Finally, I got like hold of somebody. Okay, so thank God, alhamdulillah, it worked out and they allowed me to take the exam. The day of the exam came and going into that hall was so scary.
It's a Qiyamah day.
And get this, right? The teacher goes up there to give like it's a big hall, by the way, like around 500 students come in, brothers and sisters, and they were all in that hall and every one of them were like silent. They knew that this was a big day. And one of the teachers, he goes up there and he gives a 5-minute speech, and within that speech he recites a verse of the Quran in which Allah basically says that, look, you're either going to be shaheed or you're going to have victory. And that's a really inspiring and beautiful ayah of the Quran. Usually. But when you hear that before an exam and the teacher is basically implying that, look, don't worry, you're either going to die doing this exam and completely fail, or you're going to succeed. It doesn't help. It's just like, okay, I got to admit though, for some strange reason, it did help when he said that. You know, and that's not the end of it, by the way. I still have to give a Shifa'i exam after that, which is basically even more nerve-wracking because you have to go to the madarsa that you want to study in. So for me, I want to go to Madrasa Imam Khomeini. And basically they have a really cool course on Quran and Tafsir and Ahadith. I want to study that.
So you're going to be a major? What is it called?
It's going to be Masters.
Masters.
Right, inshallah. Masters. So, but anyway, the Shifa'i is basically you're going to be sitting in front of a board of the faculty in that madrasa, and like there's going to be 5-6 people, and they're going to be asking you questions, different types of questions about your background, who you are, why you want to study, what you want to study, as well as knowledge-based questions. So they're going to ask you questions. Me, for example.
Isn't that scarier though, when like you're being asked like live?
You know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's even more nerve-wracking.
Writing exam is like, okay, at least you're on your own doing. When they're asking, you're just like, I don't know.
I suppose I don't know. One advantage is you don't really need to prepare, because they're going to be asking you all sorts of questions. There's no way you
it's
could possibly
prepare for it. It's not as hard as the written exam. The written exam is the main part, but whatever his friends were telling that a lot of people have passed the written exam and failed the, oral exam?
The oral exam.
Like, what happens if you fail the oral exam?
You have to take the Azumun again.
Oh yeah, that's what he said. That is scary. Please don't.
To all my Hausa brothers out there, all my Hausawi sisters out there, God bless you, Godspeed, may Allah be with you, inshallah. If you do fail, never give up. If there's one thing I've learned from this experience, it is that you need to وَجَاهِدُ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ and do jihad in the way of Allah, the right that Allah deserves. Get back on your horse and keep going, because you know you have no idea
and
what great things.
And have a wife like me, like who helps you so much.
Sisters,
all
support
I
your
did
husbands.
Is, yeah, made coffee, food, coffee, knock knock, coffee, knock knock, tea, knock knock, food, and then I just left him alone. I was like, I didn't even know. I didn't speak to him for like weeks. Salam, and he's like, I can't talk.
If I was asked to do that for one day, I would probably just become depressed or something. I think you did feel a little bit depressed.
No, I wasn't depressed. I was just like, okay, the way, like the every time when you came out of the room, your facial expressions were so scary that I was just like,
whoa, what were my facial expressions?
You're just like, you're like on your phone. You're just like, I need food. Okay, bye. See you. You're like,
I remember that actually.
Your
yeah.
eyes were like, you know, when they're just like, you haven't slept, sleep deprived. He was like,
I used to just come out of the room like this.
Like
I wouldn't even see
her
or the kids.
Every day he used to find out something really scary. He'd be like,
yeah,
registration, this, that, this is gonna happen, that's gonna happen, and he's
and
just
the,
like,
the content as well that we're studying is just like, how am I supposed to know all this? For sarf and nahw, how am I supposed to memorize all of these rulings? It's impossible. Do I look like a textbook to you? So anyway, gave the exam and you'll find out next time if I passed.
You know what, Zazmun depends if we're gonna be able to live here or not, because we just don't want to leave. We, you know what, it's just pray for him, inshallah, inshallah, pray that he passes. And you know what, even if you just get a passing mark, that's important. I think in this exam, you just have to pass. It doesn't have to be high level, lower, but just pass. Just pray for him, inshallah.
Yeah.
And that's all we have time
for today. This is my wife. No.
From my husband, with the Farbat Haider.
From my wife, Sayyidah Fatima Ali.
We bid you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. درده کسی ندیدم اینجا که نامید برگرده انجره فولاده.